Ooh. Right now, it is time for the Berkshire Edge On Air, theberkshireedge.com, the place to go to find out what's going on in the South County region, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we are joined by Marcy and David, and we say, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning, and not just the South County region, either.
No,
we cover the world. No. We also cover, all our calendar has events in all through the Berkshires.
I know, but
in Connecticut as well, even.
Yeah.
You know. And even actually over in New York State.
Exactly, but you have to say it. This is what makes it complicated, which is why
this
we just said
this is the Berkshires and beyond.
Yes, right. There you need the Berkshires
right.
and beyond.
Because otherwise, you have the same problem that we have.
Yeah, see, in
I've got old things that say covering Litchfield, Berkshire, Dutchess, Columbia.
Right.
Like,
yes,
gets confusing.
Yes. Well,
we cover things in Williamstown. We cover things in
Pittsburgh.
We love Pittsburgh.
And occasionally Pittsburgh.
Well, something happens in Pittsburgh, you got to cover it.
Sorry, it's still early for us.
I know. Okay. Well, hey,
I'm reorienting myself.
we'll start off with the first story that you've sent along, the effort afoot to rename Monument Valley Regional Middle School after civil rights activist W.E.B. Du Bois.
Yes. Well. This is, there's a lot going on. We've talked about this before, but there's a lot going on about W.E.B. Du Bois here. I mean, we had something in here on Saturday that David attended, but W.E.B. Du Bois was when he came back and spoke at his alma mater, Monument Mountain High School. He made a really stirring and stunning environmental speech in which he talked about the need to preserve the Housatonic River. So besides this effort to rename the schools, which David will tell us more about, we also have a river walk named after Du Bois and a ceremony this past Saturday reconsecrating and blessing the river in the name of W.E.B. Du Bois. So this goes on at the same time that there's a number of other efforts to revive W.E. Du Bois.
Well, the problem is that Du Bois has been vilified, even though he grew up in Great Barrington and became, he was one of the founders of the NAACP and was a really well-known scholar and he eventually became quite radicalized because of the people not listening to him about the segregation and the way that African Americans were treated in America. And he ended his life by going and living overseas in Africa and kind of throwing up his hands and saying, America is never going to change. But in any case, he is one of the most, famous Great Barrington natives, born and bred here, went to Harvard, went to the local schools, attended the local churches. But whenever you bring up his name, because he was such a critic of the America that people just refuse to honor him, really. There's been an effort to rename the elementary school after him, and that failed. And now there's another effort to perhaps rename the what's called the Monument Valley Regional Middle School. So there's another effort to put his name on that and to honor him in this community. And in fact, it's a regional middle school, so it's honoring him in this region.
Actually, I think we told you once before that when these schools, the elementary school and the middle school were built about, 10 years ago, maybe more?
No, 2005.
2005. There was a big effort then to name one of them after W.E.B. Du Bois, and it was rejected.
It was the elementary school.
The elementary school. Yep. So now there's an effort to rename the middle school. I don't know. Why did they choose the middle school now?
Well, there is, for one thing, there's a curricular issue, too, because they study W.E.B. Du Bois in middle school. So that was the appropriate, they thought, well, we'll try that school. And, you know, there's even objections to, they have a statue to be placed at the library downtown of Du Bois sitting on a bench with reading a book. And people object to that, too.
So I guess there won't be any Bernie Sanders statues in Great Barrington anytime soon.
Well, more likely than, it might be more acceptable than...
I don't know, the word social, social democrat.
Or Elizabeth Warren, Massachusetts.
Well, listen, she's very popular here.
Yeah, she is.
All right.
Did you think in 100...
We are the bluest of the blue in Massachusetts, right here in the Berkshire.
Well, you would think that the bluest of the blue would be able to handle W.E.B. Du Bois.
You would think, right.
Let's move on to the Great Barrington Selectmen planning to close a section of the access road to Lake Mansfield. This is a great time to do this.
What a great time. Well, it's going to be 80 degrees.
And you won't be able to get to the beach.
You won't be able to get to the beach. Well, you'll be able to get to the beach by a roundabout way. But the direct line from town, it goes right along the edge of the of Lake Mansfield, which is a very popular spot for people to, there's a town beach there that's quite lovely, actually. It's really a great little swim spot and picnic spot. And people kayak in the lake and do that single paddleboard in it. But the road, the access road, which has been a nuisance for quite a while, is kind of falling into just eroding. And they really need to shore up the base of this road, which means that they'll have to kind of close it. Because it's very narrow. It's barely two lanes. So the select board has decided that they're going to have to close it for a period of time while they repair it, and it just seems ironic that they would do so
in the summertime.
Have you ever noticed how Columbus Avenue gets carved up just in time for the Thanksgiving Day parade? I wonder if it's the same.
Well, at least the Central Park West is still okay.
You know what it is? Is that repairs like this get in a queue, could get done because there are other issues, there are other repairs to be done. And the season is not all year long. They can't do this whenever the weather gets cold. They do have a limited amount of time.
Yeah.
But it seems like the priorities, it would have been better for this to have been done, say in March.
March or else
April.
Or else late September, early October when you're
right.
When you don't have to worry about mud and you don't have to worry about frozen ground yet. And there's less attendance. I mean, there might be some warm days, but there's less attendance, of course, and it's not summertime. So, It's easy for me to say because I'm sitting here behind four walls.
all it takes is planning,
Hey, you've got a couple of stories coming out of Tanglewood. One about their music, the new center, and also the new sculpture that's going there.
That's right. The Tanglewood is built a Lind Center for
Lindy
Center for performing arts and education, and. It's been dedicated, and there's a new sculpture, a handsome new sculpture of Serge Koussevitzky, founding directors of the Boston, conductors of the Boston Symphony Orchestra that is prominently displayed there. And they dedicated this sculpture over the last couple of days. So Tanglewood is becoming a year-round... This Lindy Center is going to make Tanglewood a year-round venue.
Yes, and we're very excited about it. I mean, the whole community is very excited about it because, the Berkshires have sort of closed down in the winter and past years, but now we have Tanglewood opening this gorgeous new center, and David and I are going to the opening on Friday morning. We've been invited. So I understand that the building is just sensational, that it's extremely flexible and very open. It's by the same architect that built Ozawa Hall, which is also a huge success. And so, you know, they are planning to have the Tanglewood Learning Institute there, which will have lectures and all kinds of sessions. We don't know yet about music. I mean, it hasn't really been, we haven't heard yet, or at least I haven't heard, what they're going to do in terms of music. There'll be smaller concerts. Obviously, the BSO is not going to be here all winter, as they are all summer, but they are planning year-round programming, and that'll be terrific. And, you know, at the same time, Jacob's Pillow now has year-round programming, not so much dance, but a lot of educational stuff. And I think, you know, performance will be the next step in both of these, both at the Pillow and at the Lindy Center. So much more to do here in the winter than there has been in the past.
Well, I remember years ago that I attended a meeting of the heads of these various cultural institutions up and down the Berkshires, and one of the things that they were lamenting was that the season is, only in the summer and in the warmer months, whereas they wished that it could be extended into the colder months. And you know, with theater, you can do that. But with performance venues like Tanglewood and Jacob's Pillow, they can't. So this is a kind of fulfillment of a long-standing desire to extend the cultural activity here. And in fact, there was an effort to include the performance of music and dance into the curriculum of the local schools, because these venues will be active during the school year. So that's an interesting possibility that may develop soon.
You also, like here at Sharon Playhouse, uses their Bach Gallery and stuff. They now have programs that they do throughout the year. But I think what's great about what's going on in Great Barrington, you have St. James Place, and then you've got the Flying Church. All these places, when they're open, will provide ample opportunity for lots of different programming to continue year-round.
It's happening already.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, St. James Place, which is, as most people know, you know, it was a church that...
The walls,
it was a gorgeous old Episcopalian church, beautifully built, but not well built, and the back wall started to collapse, and the congregation couldn't afford it anymore. So a very thoughtful couple bought it and turned it into...
Who were congregants, by the way.
Yeah, turned it into a nonprofit organization, and now it's a performing center. They rebuilt it, and they remodeled the inside, and now a performing arts center, and it's busy all winter. And with the Mahewi and St. James and now these other things, really, it's going to be very exciting here in the winter.
Absolutely. I want to move on
to... And we hope so, because, you know, we need more people here. We used to rely on skiing to bring people to the Berkshires in the winter. But skiing, because of the weather change, skiing is unpredictable.
Oh, you're mentioning that unmentionable?
That's the unmentionable,
right.
The climate change.
I was up in Great Barrington a couple of weeks ago, and I was amazed at Powerhouse Square how great that looked. I mean, there's a lot of construction with sidewalks around it and everything like that, but it really does look good, and
yeah.
it looks amazing, as a matter of fact.
This is the new co-op with the apartments,
yep.
Condos above it. And
nearby. What happened is that the co-op needed to grow, but they partnered with a developer who created this new space called Powerhouse Square, right next to their old the old co-op market, and so they've built a rather impressive and imposing building with condos on the upper floors, and the co-op is below, and it's really quite a lovely market. It's really sensational, actually.
It's downtown,
and it's within walking distance of the downtown region, which is the downtown neighborhood, which is just one of those goals of urban planners.
And what's so great about
it? People living and buying and eating and being entertained downtown.
It's a mixed-use property.
Or less sprawl.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's a mixed-use property, and even though it's big, it doesn't look big when you're coming into Great Barrington. Does it look a little big when you're coming up the road from behind it? Yeah, but it's still, the way the architecture is done, it fits in with the town. It's not a sore thumb at all.
Well, they tried to match the 19th-century brick building.
Yep. They did a good job. They did a real good job.
Yeah. It's a little imposing when you're driving down the street. There's this big building sort of looming on the side. But anyway, I think when it's finished and the condos are all inhabited, and there's going to be a second building of condos also. So, and there are rental apartments now, very nice rental apartments up at the top of Railroad Street. That building was renovated into shops and condos. And the goal is to have a lot of people living downtown, close to the movies, close to the restaurants, and to create a much more lively downtown.
Yeah,
year-round.
Kind of walkable downtown,
right.
And livable.
And eventually we'll have this new hotel also on Bridge Street, which... the Mejitas are going to renovate, so there'll be that downtown also. This will take several years for the hotel to be done, but it's going to be sort of right across the street from the co-op and the Powerhouse Square.
Well, I am waiting for a high rise. I really.
I think you'll have to wait a little while.
Not in
for
our
that.
Lifetime.
Hurry, hurry.
Hey, speaking about high rise, a couple stories, one out of Sheffield and one out of Great Barrington, of course, in
high
Sheffield.
High rise, right, you're right.
The Close Encounters statue is gone, and then, of course, another cannabis shopping in the Flying Church. Right? That's
flying
great.
Church. Right.
Yeah, can you believe this? I mean, all these new residents that are going to be living over there by the co-op are also going to be able to get conveniently, within walking distance, they'll be able to get their cannabis. It's still amazing. Every time I drive by Theory Wellness up there north of town, there is a constantly line of people trying to get in to get their cannabis. It's just astonishing.
But I feel like shouting at them every time because I did it. Pete Nugent and I did an interview with the owners there, and I feel like shouting, "You can order ahead of time."
but you still have to stand there to pick it up.
But they stand there for 20, 30 minutes, and
do you have to stand there to pick it up?
Well, what?
How did you? Isn't there an area that's that's usually quite empty?
Well, not really. No. I mean, it's not quite empty. There's businesses around it, but
no. I'm talking about within Theory Wellness. You talked about the tour that you had, and there's a place that doesn't have as many customers.
No.
No?
Okay. No. No, the only place, once you're inside, there's not as many customers as waiting outside.
Okay, that must have been what I was referring
but
to.
But anyway, it's. But the story that I want to go back to is removing the statue from in front of the old covered bridge.
Oh dear. Well,
and it wasn't even of W.E.B. Du Bois.
No, it was to commemorate a close encounter of the third kind.
Right, of Sheffield resident Thomas Reed claims happened to him when he was a child. And he is he's been notoriously promoting this event over the years, and he had a monument built, a little obelisk. Well, it wasn't that tall, actually, but and it commemorated this event, and he had it situated next to the covered bridge in Sheffield. But the town was outraged that it was near town property, and they had it removed. Hopefully, it's probably in. What's that warehouse in Arizona where they have
London Bridge?
Roswell, New Mexico.
Area 51.
They,
yeah,
have all the other evidence of alien invasions. Hangar, whatever it's called.
51. Area 51 is what you're talking about.
Yes, that's it. Area 51. Right. So, is that what it is? Yes.
Yeah. So now I want to get to the last story because we only have about 2 minutes left, and that is your interview with Jim Murphy.
Oh, right. That was Jim Murphy has been, the spokesperson for the Region 1 of the Environmental Protection Agency. And it was he was a spokesman for the project that cleaned up the PCBs from the, or at least most of the PCBs from the river. That were dumped there by General Electric during the 30s, 40s, and 50s, and 60s. And he was a really available, he was a really good spokesman for that whole project, and which was quite controversial when it started. He retired. And he had a lot of, you can see from our interview, he has a lot of interesting things to say about where the EPA is going now, considering that it's under the Trump administration that is attempting to cut back on some of the EPA's oversight of contamination in the nation, like coal-fired plants and that sort of thing. So it's an interesting read. Jim is a really thoughtful guy. I'm sorry to see him go, actually, because he was always such a good resource for us in the press.
All right. Well, those stories and more.
Right.
And online.
So, the other thing that I just want to mention coming next week, July 4th, will be this giant crafts fair, that happens every year that your listeners may want to know about. It's a lot of fun. And this year they're having a concert. By an interesting new group called Harpeth Rising, and that will be I think the 5th, 6th, and 7th at Ski Butternut. So fun to go to.
All right, and all this information and more, theberkshireedge.com is the location. Guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Okay, see you.
Take care.
Have a good week.
You too.
Bye.
All right. That is this week the Berkshire Edge. On air on Robin Hood Radio. Once again, theberkshireedge.com.